Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sorta Sophisticated, a podcast where we try like hell to expand our worldview and learn some new things along the way that will hopefully make us a little more cultured and curious.
But really, we are just trying to enlighten anyone who cares on topics that might make us more interesting humans and just dangerous enough to hold our own in this sophisticated world. Sort of.
Do you think it's working?
What's working?
Like enlightening people. Like, I don't even know if it's working.
I think it is. We got like a solid 50 people that listen.
Oh, okay. All right. So we think we're on this. Yeah. I guess time will tell.
It enlightens me every week.
All right. Well, if it's enlightening us, then it's worth it. And I'm your host, Pete, sitting here as always with my co-host, Amanda. And today we'll be talking all things Oktoberfest, people. That massive carnival where the main attractions are beer and sausages. And where everybody stands on tables screaming, "Boast!" And who are we kidding? They're usually shit-faced drunk.
Wait, what did you say? Did you say post or post or boast or
boast? It's like German, like boast, the German word for cheers, right? Yeah, and if we're doing an episode on Oktoberfest, you really can't start without cheers, right?
All right, then I guess. So post to you.
Perfect post. All right. Okay, hold on. Wait a sec. Before we like get all into this whole Oktoberfest crap, I have a fun fact.
Already? It's kind of early.
Oh, already. Totally.
Okay.
This one is crazy. Did you know, up until last year, there were no drinking fountains at Oktoberfest?
What? Seriously? They didn't have like water bottle fillers or?
No, I looked this up. Drinking fountains made their initial debut at Oktoberfest in 2023.
What did they do? Have just a bunch of water cannons?
I have no idea. I think they just got really dehydrated and died or something. I don't even know.
I mean, they drank a lot of beer. Maybe they didn't need water.
Maybe. I think they probably bought water. But like, I cannot believe in its 213-year history, no one thought that maybe it would be a good idea to let people hydrate for free. Like, WTF. And like, Amanda, guess how many there were?
I don't know. 100?
No. Yeah. How about 2?
So 2 drinking fountains.
2 drinking fountains.
Like,
I know.
Like the one that you push and the
yeah,
stream
you
comes
up? And then people stand in line. Yes. Like when you were a little kid. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Drinking fountain. 6 million people. Oktoberfest. 2 drinking fountains. Makes perfect sense.
You're lying.
I'm not lying. I can't make this up. I swear to God. Look it up. Okay. Good news. Due to their overwhelming popularity, the number of drinking fountains will increase this year by 400%.
I mean, I would say that sounds like a lot, but they installed 2.
They installed 2.
And they're going up by 400%.
400%. So let's do a little math.
That's
we're going from 2 to 10. They're going to have 10
for
this year.
For 6 million people.
For 6 million people? What the hell is wrong with Germany? No wonder they have like chest hair all over their body. Like,
I'm going to go with they're drinking enough beer. They're hydrating through their beer.
They absolutely take their fucking drinking way too seriously. Okay. I got another one. Check this. They're also adding ox burgers to the menu this year.
Ox.
Oh, ox burgers. Yes.
Okay.
I love Germany. Let's butcher some oxen and drink some beer. Oh my God, they're awesome. I don't even know why we're recording this episode. Let's just get our butts over there right now for some ox burgers and beer.
I'm going to ask, though I'm a little bit afraid.
What?
What do ox burgers and beer have to do with being cultured and curious?
Who wouldn't be curious about trying their first ox burger, right? Oh my God. I might puke just saying that. Is it even legal to eat ox? I'm not sure. Okay. Seriously, Amanda, we're not talking about ox burgers. We're talking about Oktoberfest. And Oktoberfest, whether you know it or not, is pretty rich in cultural tradition with some deep-ass historical roots. It's not just the largest beer festival on the planet, but it's also got some serious Bavarian history. Look, understanding the origins and customs and even really like the whole evolution of Oktoberfest will help better understand the regional and national identity of Alemannia, of Germany. Oktoberfest is a perfect example of how a local tradition can offer some pretty awesome global insight. So that's why.
All right, I'm in. You got me hooked. Let's go.
All right, well then, okay. Welcome to all things Oktoberfest, people. The happiest, or should I say, hoppiest celebration on earth. All right, from the tourist Lederhosen, we'll explain that, to locals who beat them up. In this episode, we're going to devour some big ass pretzels and try to dance on benches without spilling our beer. So strap it on, people. And our word of the day is immersement. And our challenge is to work this word into the podcast somewhere and make it seem like we meant to.
Also note, oxen is just beef. Okay.
It was fun.
I was just wanting to make sure you
knew that.
Of
course it's beef. Yeah. Okay. It's like bison. Bison's beef too.
Oxen are commonly just castrated adult male cattle.
What?
Oxen
mm-hmm.
are commonly castrated adult male cattle.
Okay, got it.
What the heck is a merciment?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's get a little more sophisticated today, people. An amercement is a fine that is imposed by a court of law. Like, you have to pay an amercement for receiving a traffic violation.
Like a monetary penalty?
Yeah, exactly. Like a monetary penalty.
KK, got it. So before we immerse ourselves in the Oktoberfest, give me a little history, please.
Okay, you realize it's not immerse, it's amercement, right?
Yeah, whatever. It was a play on words.
It doesn't count. Okay, let's start with what is Oktoberfest exactly?
A kick-ass party, duh.
And it's the world-famous festival held each year in Munich, Germany.
It's where I lost my mother-in-law.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say it's where I lost my virginity. And you just said, I feel terrible. Oh my God. You lost her there?
Yeah.
Like she died?
Oh, like she got lost at the airport. Oh, we almost missed our connecting flight.
Okay, I feel so much better. Oh, that was terrible. Okay, let's get back to it. Okay. This is literally the largest and most traditional celebration of all Bavarian culture. And it attracts millions of visitors around the globe. Probably because it has beer. Like, who are we kidding? Go figure. I mean, it's not a party unless there's beer, man.
Amen.
So the actual origins of Oktoberfest, though, go all the way back to October 12th, 1810.
Wow. So specific there.
I know. Right? I thought the same thing. But okay, there's a reason. It was a wedding day.
Okay. Makes sense.
Okay, yeah. So listen.
Kind of.
Yeah. October 12th, 1810 is when some guy named Crown Prince Ludwig, later Ludwig I of Bavaria, married.
It has to do with Ludwig from Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Absolutely not. Okay. This was way before that. Just yeah. Kidding. So he marries Princess Therese of, oh my God, I'm going to botch this, Sachsen-Heilbronn.
That sounded pretty convincing.
Yeah. Did it? Okay. And since they were this totally like hot young power couple, I think it must have been some kind of requirement to throw like a huge freaking celebration for like the royal wedding. So a bunch of servants and maids and stuff get together and plan this massive public festival right out in the fields in front of the city gates of Munich. It was nuts. These people went off. The original party had horse races, hunting games, parades, dancing, and a bunch of other totally inappropriate entertainment probably. And the fields were the actual festival took place was named Theresienwiesel, if I said that right, translated in English to Therese's Meadow in honor of the hot bride. And this, believe it or not, is still the official site of Oktoberfest today.
That's crazy.
I know. It's so cool. I wish we had something like this in America dating that far back. Right?
So wait, I have a lot of questions. First, why do you keep saying Oktoberfest and not the Oktoberfest?
That's your big question.
Well, it's kind of important.
Okay, so it's a proper noun in German. Like in America, we say Halloween or Thanksgiving. We wouldn't say the Halloween or the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but those are holidays. So is Oktoberfest a holiday?
Well, we wouldn't say the Disneyland or the Angel Stadium, would we?
I do say the Angel Stadium.
Okay, that's wrong.
Okay, fine. Good point.
Okay, so you're assuming there's more than one Oktoberfest around the world. And while technically you're right, it doesn't take away from the fact that there's only the OG Oktoberfest, and that's why it's a proper noun. Got it? So it's just Oktoberfest.
Sure. I feel a little more sophisticated.
Yeah, it's
now.
Not the Oktoberfest. It's just Oktoberfest.
Okay, wait. So one more question. I keep referring to Bavaria. Where is Bavaria? Is it different than Germany?
Yeah, sorry. Bavaria is a state, a.k.a. a Bundesland, in Germany. It's in the southeastern part of the country. It's like Germany's largest state, and obviously, like, it has a huge cultural heritage, its own specific and separate traditions, and keeps a strong regional identity. Hey, do you know, like, Basque, like, in French, like, a Basque culture up in, like, in France?
No, it's just kind of like people being from Texas.
Same. Yeah. Yes. There you go. Yes. So Bavaria is a state in Germany. So it's like totally integrated into their federal system and shares all the same laws and all the economic stuff. But historically, it was an independent kingdom until it became part of Germany in 1871. So technically, Oktoberfest started in Bavaria before it was part of modern day Germany. Make sense?
Mostly. But thanks for the quick geography lesson.
Sort of. Sort of makes sense.
Sort of.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, so long story short, who are we kidding? That's freaking totally impossible with me. Because this massive celebration was so successful, the newlyweds said, like, fuck it, and decided to make it an annual thing.
Why not?
Rich people rule the world, right?
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Oh, nice ad. I like that. You're such a cool engineer.
So then, what happened?
Okay, so actually it didn't really run every year. It kind of was like hit and miss for a while. But basically, like all throughout the 1800s, Oktoberfest kept growing. And for like the first 25 years or so, it was really still like a party commemorating the actual anniversary of good old Ludwig and Therese. But then, after a while, it started taking on sort of a life of its own. So like the horse races and hunting stopped, and carousels and mechanical swings took over because they had to keep up with, you know, the change in times. And then a few more years pass, and some genius had the idea to introduce beer. And, well, the rest is history.
All right, so they really just went from gambling on horses to getting smashed and drinking beer all day?
Hey. No judging, man.
Just swap out. I'm not judging. Right. I was just asking.
Yeah, swap out one vice for another. I love it. By the turn of the century, beer had become the main point of the whole freaking festival, go figure, with Munich's breweries setting up these massive tents to serve their beer to everyone. So then they keep adding more rides and more food booths, and by 1900, they had a fully integrated major amusement event, complete with entertainment acts to sing and dance in front of millions of drunk visitors. I mean, they have everything now. Amanda, roller coasters, Ferris wheels, like the massive swing that like whips you around 100 miles an hour. You know that one? Like 100 feet in the air that makes me puke. It's basically Disneyland without the characters.
But I'm sure they got their fair share of characters, am I right?
Oh, shit. They do. Good point. Mm. Yep.
So it's run every year since then.
Okay, yeah, almost. History's seen a lot of shit since 1900. So like a few world wars, maybe a few pandemics, and like a bunch of other crap. But you got to give it to the resilience of the Bavarians. They've always tried really hard to bring back a party that was bigger and better than ever before. So since its inception, Oktoberfest was actually only canceled 24 times in history. Most recently in 2020 and 21.
So in 220 years? That's like once every 10 years.
Yeah, but like keep in mind it didn't start annually. So I'm sure like a lot of those were at the beginning. So probably it's more like it's only been canceled like once every 20 or 25 years since they decided to go annual.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big deal. Right. So now today, Oktoberfest lasts a little over 2 weeks, 16 to 18 days to be exact. And it features traditional Bavarian music, pretzels. Oh my God, pretzels. Dude, I want pretzels right now. I want a Bavarian pretzel.
This is, you always get a Bavarian pretzel when we go out to dinner after recording.
I want a Bavarian pretzel. Oh my God. Sausage. I want sausage. They have sausage. They have Bavarian roast chicken. I'm so hungry right now. Oh my God. And then, of course, all the beer necessary to literally drink yourself to death. And fun fact before the fun facts. I'm in the mood for fun facts before fun facts.
I mean, I just bet there's a lot with Oktoberfest. No,
oh yeah. Oh yeah, there is. The beer served at Oktoberfest has to be brewed according to Reinheitsgebot. Say that three times fast. The German beer purity law of 1516. Dude, this is like 500 years old. That states all beer must be brewed within the city limits of Munich in order to be served at Oktoberfest. No exceptions, no outsiders, man.
That's so German of them.
It is totally German, right? Now it's starting to all come together. No wonder they thought they could take over the world. So it all starts with the opening day parade, which basically has like the event hosts and all the tent owners walking through town with horse-drawn beer carriages, and brass bands are like ripping out tunes, right? The parade's led by Münchnerkindl. So that's Munich's monk mascot, which is a young woman on horseback and represents the city's coat of arms. The mayor of Munich is also part of the parade because once the parade ends, he actually has a real job to do. This is getting cool. Bear with me. Okay, so according to longstanding tradition, the first beer barrel at the Oktoberfest is always tapped in the Schattenhamel tent. I wish I was German. Schattenhamel. And it's the job of the mayor of Munich to try his hardest to insert the tap in the barrel in as few blows as possible, and then to fill up the first beer stein, which is then customarily handed to the incumbent Bavarian state premier, signaling the actual opening of the Oktoberfest. So it's this whole like ceremony that they do, right? It's a super fun tradition, started in 1950, and the current record of number of blows to like hammer into the barrel is two.
Two? That's
two.
Crazy. He must be really good at blowing the barrel.
he's totally good at it. Okay, there was actually two guys tied for the record. Christian Uda, he was like one of the former mayors, and Dieter Reeder.
Dieter Reeder?
Okay, well, it's
Dieter
actually...
Dieter Reeder?
It's actually Reeder, right? Oh. It's actually Reeder, but like it's so much cooler to say Dieter Reeder. Oh my God, I wish my name...
This is all super German.
Can you imagine if my name was Peter Dieter Reeder? That would be so cool. All right, sorry. So for clarity, his name is actually Dieter Reeder, but I couldn't help myself because that is awesome. All right, so anyway, he's still the mayor, Dieter Reeder, right now, and he's going to try to beat his record this year in just a few days. He's going to try to hammer that sucker in one blow. You think he's going to be able to do it?
Yeah.
You do?
I think he's determined.
All right, well, he did two last year, so let's see what he does this year.
All right. So wait, what's the longest number of blows?
The longest number of blows.
Yeah, like the most that they
okay,
had.
All the way back in 1950 when they started. I guess this guy was a total douche. I don't know. 17. Took this guy 17 hammer blows.
Maybe
right?
He was like slugging away with his shoe.
I don't know what he was slugging away with, but it wasn't good. His name was Mayor Thomas Wimmer. He was the original mayor that started the whole like tradition in the first place.
I mean, we shouldn't give him a bunch of shit.
No, we probably
because
shouldn't.
Because he started.
No. He did. Right. Cool. It's totally cool. But I mean, you get to like everything, right? We get better and better. So we go from 17 blows down to 2 blows. And maybe this year it's going to be a 1 blow.
I mean, or the Germans are just ultra competitive.
They really are.
There
They're
you go.
Awesome. Yes. I'm rooting for Dieter Reeder. Okay. By the way, this was one of my favorite episodes to write because as I was like learning all about this, I was like, this is so cool that they have all these traditions.
Yeah, we should go.
I know. It's kind of cool. All right. So just before noon on opening day, there's like 10,000 people in the Schottenhamel tent, and they're all watching the mayor, and they like do this whole thing where they count out loud at the top of their lungs as he's like striking the blows into the keg, right? And the whole idea is that the mayor's reputation depends on how quickly he taps the barrel. So it's like super fun, right?
That's a cool tradition.
It's totally awesome, right? And then once he's done, he shouts, okay, sorry. Don't make fun of me. He shouts, Otapis, which means it is tapped.
But why do they tap it at the Schottenhamel tent? Why don't they move it around every year?
Okay, so good question. I had to look that up. So the original tap was done at the Schottenhamel tent in 1950, and legend has it that Mayor Tom, the original mayor who took 17 blows, was running a little late after opening another fair somewhere close by on the same day. And since it was pouring rain and he was totally late, he just took the fastest way he could into the first tent he got to, which was Schottenhamel. And the tradition was born. But
he just started all the traditions.
He did. He totally did. This guy's a badass. Right. So after the mayor taps the barrel, like all the other tents need a signal to know like they're green lighted to start pouring beer, right? Like how else will they know? Because all these tents are like super far apart from each other. They're not like easy to see. So what do you think they do?
I mean, there has to be like a horn.
There's something. Right. Uh-huh. It is a 12-gun salute that is fired through the air, letting all the other tents know it's time to start the party.
I mean, what better way to start the party?
So, like 10,000 people are screaming to get this thing started. Then he pours the first beer, hands it to the other Bavarian dude, whatever he was, the premier. And then they shoot 12 rounds into the air.
Yeah, but can you think of how
the party
electric
starts?
The crowd must
it's
be?
It's unbelievable. I have to go. I have to go on day one, right? I totally have to.
Okay, but wait.
What?
I read somewhere that Oktoberfest, it actually takes place in September. Is that true? And if it is, why then do they call it Oktoberfest and not Septemberfest?
It's totally true. It's in September. But it wasn't always that way. That's why.
Well, because you said at the beginning it was October 2nd.
Right.
So
thank
why
you.
September?
Well, bear with me. Wow. Okay. So all the way back in 1810 when it started, it was in October, hence the name Oktoberfest. But as years went on, all the peeps in charge wanted to take advantage of like milder weather or what they call the Indian summer, I suppose. And the fact that days were longer in September than October. So.
More drinking time.
Right. In 1872, they changed it, and they never looked back, baby. So now it starts on the first Saturday after September 15th and ends on the first Sunday in October. And another fun fact.
You're just full of them today.
I know. Right. Wait, listen to this one. If the first Sunday in October lands on either October 1st or 2nd, Oktoberfest is extended until Monday or Tuesday to coincide with the public holiday, Tag der Deutschen Einheit, or what's called the Day of German Unity, because everybody's got a party through that holiday. Let's go, Germany. So they actually make it longer. It's like Groundhog's Day. If it lands on this day, there's like another day of the Oktoberfest. But if it doesn't, then it ends early.
More debauchery.
Oh my God. I absolutely love it. I'm already on like the fourth fun fact. So new fun fact. The people in Germany don't even call it Oktoberfest. Did you know that?
No. What do they call it?
No, we all do. They don't. Okay. Remember the name of the field where it all started? Theresienwiesen?
Yes.
So another little history lesson for you. People from Munich merge their syllables together a lot, like I guess all the time, like their language, right? So at some point, instead of saying Triesenweiss, they started saying just the Weissen. In Munich, they literally say, I'm going out to the meadow, which is Nassaf de Weissen, or the Weissen for short, when they're telling someone they're actually going to Oktoberfest.
So Germans don't even call it Oktoberfest.
No, not even all. No.
We just do.
Yep.
Any other countries do?
All the countries call it Oktoberfest. Only Germans call it the Weissen.
I feel so uncultured, but also learning something new each
episode. I had so much fun doing all this research. This was like awesome to like figure all this stuff out.
But wait, another question.
What? I love your questions this time. Like, this is good. I like all this.
So you said beer sort of took over as the main attraction somewhere in the late 1800s?
We love beer.
Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
But why beer? Why didn't they just keep the horse races and hunting?
Because hunting drunk kills people, maybe? Okay, just kidding. I don't know, because it's beer. Like, who wouldn't want a festival created around beer? You need to understand that beer is to Bavaria what, like, apple pie is to, like, America. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, what chorizo is to, like, Argentina. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, it's central to Oktoberfest because it's the only thing that can embody the festival's historical and cultural significance, and even their whole social significance. It really is their identity. It's their pride, like, for sure. And that's why it's Munich beer only. No imposters allowed. So thanks to, you remember what I said earlier, Reinheitsgebot, that German purity law, there's only 6 breweries that are even allowed to serve at the Oktoberfest because they have to be breweries inside the city limits of Munich, okay? They're called, okay, I'm going to butcher this. They're called Augustinerbräu, Herrscherbräu, Löwenbräu. You remember, you know Löwenbräu? You ever heard of Löwenbräu, the beer? That's what we call it here in America. It's actually Löwenbräu, right? That's another one. Paulana, Spatenbräu, and oh my God, this one's so hard. Hofbräu München. All right, those are the 6. Okay, so all those beers have designated tents where they get served from. And each tent has their own, like, unique awesomeness that goes with it. Can I buzz through the top 5 real quick? The top 5 tents?
Real quick.
Okay, let's do that. So first, you have Schattenhammer. This is the one where we were talking about earlier, right? The oldest and largest tent at Oktoberfest. And it's where the festival officially begins with that whole ceremonial keg tapping. It's known for its upbeat atmosphere and super popular with the Gen Zs. This tent holds 10,000 people.
It's a massive tent.
I know. Okay. Then you have Hofbräufeste. This one is a favorite for all the international visitors. It holds also about 10,000 people and also has some pretty awesome Bavarian music playing loud all the time. Okay. Then is Augustinfeste. This is the family-friendly tent, and its beer, Augustine, is still poured, Amanda, from traditional wooden kegs, which nowadays is a total rarity at the Oktoberfest. The tent is smaller and quieter. That's why it's sort of family-friendly. So it's a good spot to sort of like chill and be more relaxed. Then you have Löwenbräu Festel. The easiest one to recognize because it has this 40-foot tall lion out front that roars every few minutes and scares the shit out of you. I don't know if you've seen it like on TikTok or, but yeah, so it's super famous. This one's always popping, has a super good mix of like locals and tourists, and it's probably going to give you like the most, in my opinion, classic Oktoberfest experience. And finally, to round out the top 5, you have Hackerfestel, also known as the Heaven of Bavaria, because it's like the top of the tent has this huge sky blue ceiling painted with clouds and stars all over it, making it look super cool. And the younger crowd like rocks pretty hard here all night long. Super lively atmosphere. Oh, and there's like 8 or 10 more, each offering their specific and unique experience, but that gives you a flavor of how all the tents work. And then there's 20 or so smaller ones too, which I can pretty much guarantee you're going to find a tent to enjoy for sure, because there's a lot to choose from.
I feel like I'm really captivated with Oktoberfest.
How can you not be?
And I'm going to plan my next vacation to Germany.
You mean we're going to plan our next vacation to Germany?
Yes, right? That too. But why don't you give me some pointers before we go so that I know what to expect and how to prep. I'll kind of know what the hell I'm doing there.
Why don't you give me pointers instead of me? You're the travel genius here. What are you talking about?
No, I'll plan it, but you got to like give me some pointers on the culture and the experience and the vibe.
Okay, we have literally 1 year and 1 week to do this because like it starts next week. So first things first, please plan ahead. Literally, I'm not kidding, Amanda. We have to start planning now, like a year in advance. Shit gets crowded. Hotels, Airbnbs, even hostels, they fill up like fast. So the earlier, the better. Then you got to get your tent reservations.
Reservations?
Wristband? Absolutely. If you plan on visiting one of the specific beer tents we talked about, make a reservation at least like, I don't know, a few months in advance, especially if you're going with like a big group of friends or family. Some tents will still do walk-ins, but seats fill up. So don't risk it. If you want to go to Schlattenheimer, dude.
Book it.
Book it early. Yes. Or you could just go on a weekday versus a weekend because obviously it will be way less crowded.
We're going to be living our best lives. So we
can go during the week. But I do want to go on that first day.
Yeah.
I want to see that. And then we'll wait and then we'll go the following Wednesday or something. Right. Because the vibe's way more chill. Like even mornings versus afternoons, totally different. Way more chill. So the earlier you get there, the more likely you're going to like find a spot. But then, of course, you start drinking way earlier. Okay. Anyway, to make this all way easier, they have packages for around $2,000 that they'll handle everything but airfare. So they do airport transfer, hotel, private transportation, reservation at the beer tent, dinners, and all other excursions. So it's kind of nice, like if you don't want to plan everything yourself and have a little extra cash laying around, because then you just buy the package and then buy your airfare and you're done.
You're going to have a little extra cash laying around, so we'll go do that.
Let's do that. Right. Because otherwise you're like planning each thing individually and that could get, like,
that's
gonna
much
go to that
more
tent, I gotta do that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. So we'll spend a little bit extra. We'll go in style. Then you got to dress the part. Do you know the name of the traditional attire that women wear?
No, but it looks like those little overall things.
Oh my God. They're so cute. And it like boosts up their bosoms. Yes. It's called a dirndl for women. And of course, lederhosen for men. They look like overalls, but they're like leather and they're like short pants. Yeah. So it's totally cool. I know I made fun of it earlier, but like actually you'll blend in with the locals. Like the locals wear that. You should wear that. Like that's part of the fun. That's the vibe. So
I'm gonna go the first day to check this out first before I actually wear them.
I think you're supposed to wear it.
You can wear it.
Okay. Fine. I will. Totally. Are you kidding me? I actually did a whole like for my college. Oh my God. What was it? Public speaking class. I had to do a whole like 30-minute presentation on Germany. And I came in wearing lederhosen. And
why don't you wear those to your Oktoberfest at St. Martin?
Oh my God. I love that. Okay. All right. So you could totally buy this stuff or rent it when you get to Munich, but you can save a lot of time and money if you buy in advance. Then you got to pack it all. So only thing I would say is don't buy a costume. Like literally don't go to Amazon and look for a costume. Like make sure it's authentic, whatever you wear. I don't care. And make sure you have comfy shoes because you're going to be standing a lot, walking around a lot, and you have to feel comfortable. Okay, so for the ladies, the dirndl consists of like a longish dress over a white blouse and an apron tied appropriately. They come in all colors, patterns, designs. They look great on everybody, so just don't worry, wear them. They're awesome. And for the guys, the lederhosen or leather breeches, which in my opinion is even more fun to say, they can be a short or knee length and are attached to suspenders that connect like across your chest. And they're worn over like usually a button up and go with some thick ass knee socks and some comfy ass loafers. There's a lot more to know about how to dress for the Oktoberfest, like where to tie your apron bow. Yes, that totally matters. How to braid your hair, Amanda. What shoes go with what? How to accessorize, what's appropriate versus what's embarrassing. So just go online and get a guide to the do's and don'ts. Don't trust me. This is only a sort of sophisticated podcast. I don't know all of it. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of info. Okay. So far, so good?
So good.
Okay. So as far as spending money goes, most places will accept cards, but it's a good idea to carry some cash. A lot of vendors actually prefer cash. ATMs are available, but they have long lines. Kind of like the water fountains, right?
So plan ahead.
Yeah, plan ahead, please.
When you say cash, you mean?
When I say cash, I mean euros. Let's go. Get with the program, people. And just remember to pace yourself or you'll be shit-faced before lunch. This is real beer, people. The good stuff. This is way stronger beer than we have in America. And I would suggest to stay sober enough to walk around and get outside the beer tents. Don't just get stuck. Go on rides, visit some attractions, listen to some entertainment. They have some kick-ass rides for sure. The Predator, Skyfall, Five Loops, and the classic Toboggan that can only be found at Oktoberfest, mind you. They have them all. And if that ain't your thing, just walk around and learn something new about Bavarian culture. Make new friends. Soak in the atmosphere. Trust me, you'll be glad you did once your hangover is gone. Most of all, be mindful of the etiquette. When you toast someone, always make eye contact and say, what do I say? Post. Yes, before taking a drink. And it's okay to stand on benches and sing and dance, but standing on the table is lame, so don't take things too far. And also be super, super respectful of the servers. They are working their asses off for you, so do not be a dick. And finally, try to use Munich's public transit system. the U-Bahn, the S-Bahn, trams, or buses to get back and forth from Oktoberfest. It's easy to use and it's super cheap. I would avoid driving your own car as much as possible because parking is really limited and hard to find. Besides, you wouldn't want to get an amercement for parking in a stall. You're not allowed to because you couldn't understand every German, am I right?
Snuck that in.
I totally did, right? I'm good like that. You can always use Uber or Lyft, but shit gets really busy depending on the times you're trying to go. Like late at night, super hard to get an Uber or Lyft. So just be flexible. You get sort of the vibe. Like that's how you prepare for O-Fest, right?
Well, I feel totally prepared to go now. Thanks for that. And I guess you did a good job Googling to get us all of that info.
You're welcome.
But listen.
What?
I know Munich is the home of the OG Oktoberfest.
Yes.
But what if I don't want to travel halfway across the world to get there?
Oh, you're traveling.
It's like 13 hours.
We're going. You already said we're
going. Okay, okay, okay. But if people didn't want to go or couldn't go.
Like if they're handicapped or something and they can't go?
Wow. Like if they're afraid of airplanes, dickwad.
Oh, like that. I thought you meant if they were like Siamese twins and shit and had like three heads but shared a liver.
So I know a bunch of other places have Oktoberfests of their own. Are any of them worth going to, like outside of Germany? For people who maybe don't like to fly on an airplane or...
If you're trying to save on travel, you have Oktoberfest in, oh my God, I don't even know how to say this, Kitchener, Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. The largest Oktoberfest in North America. Although, believe it or not, Canada has some pretty strong roots that tie back to Germany, thanks to their large German population. And bonus, it has a Miss Oktoberfest pageant.
Well, we should go to that one this year.
I know, right? Then in South America, you have one in Blumenau, Brazil. I don't even, Blumenau, am I saying that right? I don't speak Portuguese. I don't speak German. It's a rare sort of unique mix of German-Brazilian influences. And this one is also pretty massive. So maybe we head down to Brazil. I could get on the Brazil train. And here in the good old US of A, Amanda, Cincinnati, Ohio, known as Oktoberfest Zincinnati. It's the largest Oktoberfest in the United States. And in my opinion, it totally outshines the Miss Oktoberfest pageant in Ontario because it has a running for wieners race that has a bunch of Dachshunds racing like banshees for gold. And it also has the world's largest chicken dance. Yes.
The only dance that white people know.
Oh, yes. Sign me up. Let's go.
I mean, Cincinnati's way closer. We get there.
I say we go to Oktoberfest Zincinnati. Then you got Hong Kong, Brisbane, Australia, and believe it or not, Amanda, Stuttgart, Germany, rounding out the list of best Oktoberfests around the world.
Really? Stuttgart? Aren't Stuttgart and Munich like next door neighbors?
I know. It's super weird. Yes. They basically are like 2 hours apart from each other. But apparently, known as the Cannstatter Volksfest, I'm butchering that, it's considered the sister event to Munich's Oktoberfest. Super authentic to Stuttgart, though, which makes it awesome in its own right, of course. So you have Oktoberfest Bavaria, and then you have Cannstatter Volksfest, which is in Stuttgart. So you get two different cultures of Germany, which are super cool, even though they're right next to each other. Look, all these Oktoberfest festivals bring a very unique twist to the tradition in their own respective ways. But I'd argue they still manage to maintain the spirit of the original event in Munich. So I would really just urge you to get out there and enjoy one of them or even all of them. Like, let's go, right?
Well, why not?
I know.
And one thing I know I will enjoy is...
What?
Fun facts. Though I know you were giving them and sprinkling them throughout the episode.
I already gave like 10.
I know, but it's time. Huh. Give me. All of the O-Fest fun facts.
Thank God we made it to fun facts. I was boring myself with all this Oktoberfest history, even though this was totally fun. So, full disclosure, I'm not sure any of my fun facts are like new intel, by the way. Okay, it's just a bunch of shit I found online. Okay?
Whatever. It's always good.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Number one, here we go. Vomit-proof sneakers, people.
I can't. Yes. Vomit?
Vomit-proof sneakers. Yes, totally. With so much beer drinking, it's obvious that some people can't hold their alcohol and end up puking everywhere. And that's why Adidas recently released a limited edition vomit-proof sneaker.
You're not shitting. I just looked it up.
Yes.
It is called the DPBR, Durable Puke and Beer Repellent.
Let's go, Adidas. Adidas. Okay. Number two. In 2023, beer prices started at just under $14 a beer, like U.S. currency. And check this. People drank over 6.5 million liters of beer in 17 days.
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah. Okay. But actually, the record was 7.5 million liters set in 2011. Amanda, because we're in America and people don't know what liters are, that is 1.7 million gallons of beer drank at the Oktoberfest. Yes, I love it. Okay, number three. The beer at Oktoberfest is specifically made for the occasion, and it's brewed extra strong, like I said earlier. As a result, it can be pretty dangerous for some people, especially lightweights like me. Every year, about 1,000 people will suffer from some intense alcohol poisoning. Okay, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
All right, number four. German engineering is real, people. Experienced bartenders at the Oktoberfest, Amanda, ready for this? Only need 1.5 seconds to fill a liter stein with beer. That is fucking fast. That's like 1/1000th beer.
Are there taps just
that fast?
It's crazy.
I count to 1.5 seconds. The beer's
full. Does it get a lot of head?
Oh my God. No, I don't think it gets a lot of head. That was funny. Okay, ready?
Yep.
Number five. Oktoberfest is a surprisingly kid-friendly zone. It remember I said it opens kind of early around 9 a.m. and closes every day around midnight. It's kind of like a state fair more than anything else, with more than 80 different rides. There's a Ferris wheel, roller coasters, a ton of games. And they even passed an ordinance recently that loud-ass music can't start playing till after 6 p.m. each day, so families can walk around and enjoy the festival all afternoon.
That's very kind.
I know. I think it's great. All right, number six. You're going to love this one. Albert Einstein worked as an electrician and helped set up the Schlattenhamel tent in 1896.
No.
Yes, he did. In 1896, he was 17 years old, and he was working as an assistant for his dad and uncle's electric company at the time, J. Einstein and Company.
That's insane.
Yes, totally. Albert Einstein.
It's the era I would pick to live in.
Yeah, putting down beers. Okay. Fun fact seven. The hairier the hat, the wealthier the wearer. During Oktoberfest, traditional visitors wear Bavarian hats called Tirolerhüte. The more tufts of goat hair on your hat, the wealthier you're considered to be.
Super random.
Yeah. I think if Elon Musk went over there, he would have so much damn hair on his hat, we wouldn't even be able to see his face.
Be like Cousin It.
It'd be, yeah, exactly. Or Animal on whatever that's called.
Muppets?
Muppets. Number eight. Did you know they have gay Oktoberfest?
Totally. Who doesn't know that?
Okay, fine. Way to rain on my parade. Do you know what it's called?
Not that sophisticated.
It's called Rosenweisse, which translates to Gay Sunday in English. And it refers to the annual LGBT events which take place throughout the Oktoberfest each year. So it originally started as a meetup in the late 1970s between friends of the Munich's Lions Club, where a bunch of folks decided to meet up in the Hackherrschor tent to celebrate their gayness on the first Sunday of October, hence the nickname Gay Sunday. And fast forward to today, Rosenweisse spans over 3 days, includes shows and music, and attracts 8,000 visitors. There are three official events now, sponsored by the MLC. The first Sunday in the Hackherrschor tent, the last Sunday in the Hackherrschor balcony, and the last Sunday in the Schlattenhamel tent.
Go team!
Let's go, right? I think that's awesome. All right, and finally, last fun fact. How about church and Oktoberfest?
No, that's just crazy talk.
Oh, that's what I thought. But since 1956, Oktoberfest holds Mass every first Thursday in the Marstall Festival tent, and it's open to everyone. They also hold a Mass the first Wednesday, but that's only for festival workers, landlords, and like the market sellers and stuff. So Let's Go Church makes its way into German Oktoberfest. You got to love the Catholics. That's all I got. You got to love the Oktoberfest lore.
I always learn so much from that part. My brain is now full of super useless facts.
Right?
Thanks to you.
You're welcome.
So we're one day going to have to like do something to put these into play.
We will.
All right,
you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw a dinner party.
There we go. And an Oktoberfest dinner party.
Let's do that. We'll do that. Yes.
So we got through a lot of stuff on Oktoberfest. So again, good job, Pete.
Yay, us.
Yep. I feel like I learned a little more about Bavarian culture and some of the origin history of the massive party.
Thank you. Thank God.
And I think I'm starting to figure out how this kind of became a worldwide sensation.
Right. Isn't it amazing?
It is.
Like, I thought it was just this little dunky thing. This is amazing stuff.
I mean, I now know more about beer tents than I ever wanted to learn. Yeah, and I finally know why everyone wears those outfits every year and what they're actually called.
I am buying you a dirndl. Mm. Yeah, I am.
I'm just not sold on that yet.
We're gonna put a dirndl on you.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I did really like this episode. Yeah. And it gave me a taste of Oktoberfest and why it might just be the happiest place on earth in comparison to Disney.
No, I cannot believe you said that.
I mean, maybe for some people.
I think so. It's got beer.
All right. Before we post, give me the few things I need to remember so I can be sort of sophisticated and stuff.
You're already sophisticated. You already know how to say post. All right. So first things first, super easy. I guess start by learning German. Okay.
Duolingo?
Just kidding. That would be terribly hard to do. But learn a few German words, right? Like how to say like I'm drunk or untie my Adidas, please. Untie my vomit-proof sneakers, please. Second, either book your flights to Munich or pick an Oktoberfest more local to you and go explore the local Bavarian culture in your own neighborhood, please. They're everywhere, people. Then next, you should probably watch Beerfest, starring Will Forte from SNL. It's a terrible comedy. 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, not going to lie. But it's all about Oktoberfest, so I'm just saying, you have to watch it. It is very important homework. Then, after memorizing this entire podcast episode, you're all set to spend the day flexing on your friends and family on the origins of Oktoberfest and some fun facts to boot. But if you can't remember everything we talked about, just be sure to share these interesting and relevant details to seem sort of sophisticated. Number one, it all started as a royal wedding celebration in 1810 between Prince Humperdinck and Buttercup. Just kidding. Prince Ludwig and Princess Therese. The citizens of Munich were invited to join the festivities, and from there it became an annual tradition. Number two, it's not in October, people. Despite its name, Oktoberfest actually begins in September now. The festival was moved earlier to take advantage of better weather, though it still traditionally ends on the first weekend in October. Three, millions of liters of beer are consumed each year. Oktoberfest is a beer lover's paradise, with generally over 7 million liters of beer consumed during the festival. Only beer brewed within Munich's city limits and following the Reinheitsgebot, that German beer purity law, is served. Four, Oktoberfest is the largest Volksfest in the world. That's people's festival. Globally, it attracts over 6 million visitors each year. The event features not only beer, but also carnival rides, games, and a wide variety of Bavarian foods. And finally, there's a non-alcoholic, kid-friendly side. While beer will always be the star of the show, Oktoberfest has plenty of family-friendly activities. There's a traditional costume parade, live music, folk dancing, and even days where alcohol is not served to create a more inclusive atmosphere for everyone.
And there you have it, dear listeners, our whirlwind tour of Oktoberfest, where we've learned that it's totally acceptable to wear knee-high socks with shorts, eat pretzels the size of your head, and dance on tables with strangers. Though I think you did mention it was not appropriate to do so.
It is not.
Whether you're now planning your own Bavarian adventure or just considering adding a beer tent to your backyard, we hope this episode has brought a bit of Oktoberfest cheer into your life. We'd like to think we've shared just enough information to make you either a flaming nuisance or a little more sophisticated to your fellow humans. Sort of. So keep your steins full, your lederhosen snug, and remember, it's always Oktoberfest somewhere.
I bet you like the lederhosen snug, don't you?
If you enjoyed this episode and found it particularly interesting, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with your peeps. Until next time, stay hydrated and stay inspired.